Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see everybody. I hope you'll take out your Bibles and follow along on our thoughts this morning. Our scripture reading takes us back to a time when the Lord said to Solomon, "Ask, what shall I give you?" Solomon, as was read in our scripture reading, he didn't ask for riches. Solomon didn't ask for a long life. Solomon didn't ask that his enemies be destroyed before him. What Solomon asked for is that he might have an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. One of the things that the king did, it's one of the things that Moses did, is cases, if you would, were brought before him, and he had to determine what was right and what was wrong. And so I want us to focus in on this idea in our sermon of wisdom and discernment. Both of those, it's joined with a conjunction. And so we're going to talk about wisdom, we're going to talk about discernment, and we're going to put the two together, and we're going to try to understand how important that is for us, and we're going to try to understand not only how important it is for us, but how to do it. Because as God's people, we're faced with choices all the time. And so we need wisdom and we need discernment to do what is right. Well, here you have Solomon, who basically says, there are so many of your people, I want to be able to discern what is good and what is evil, what is the right thing to do. And so the Lord sums up his request in verse 10, rather. It says, the Lord was pleased with what Solomon had asked for, this understanding heart to judge his people. And then God ended up giving him the things that he didn't ask for. We've studied through Ecclesiastes, we studied through Proverbs, we understand the wisdom that he had, the things that he was able to tell us to help us navigate life. But I just want you to look at it from the standpoint of what he asked for was very pleasing to God. It's almost, when you kind of read it, it's like, what would you ask for if God said, okay, I want to give you whatever you want, what would you ask for? God was very pleased with what Solomon asked for. And as I started to say, the Lord sums this up in verse 12 when he says, understanding to discern justice, or the New American Standard actually says, I have given you a wise and discerning heart. So he said, I want to be able to have wisdom, I want to be able to discern, and God says, I have given you a wise and discerning heart, the way the New American Standard puts it. So for us to get the idea of what that means, if you're there in 1 Kings chapter 3, and I hope that you're there. If you're not there, I would go over there. So as the story goes on, so he asked for this, God says, I'm going to give it to you. The next thing that happens is a case is brought before him. And as a young person growing up, hearing this story, it was always very intriguing. Because this case, to show his wisdom and discernment, right away the Bible all of a sudden says, well, let me give you an idea of how wise Solomon was. There were two women. And these two women gave birth to their child about 3 days apart. The two women lived in a house together, and both of the women were the only ones in the house. Well, during the night, one of the women rolled over upon her baby and must have suffocated it or something to that effect, and the child died. And when she realized what had happened, she got up and she took her baby and she went over there while the other one is sleeping, and she pulled her live baby away. She stuck the dead baby there and then goes back like nothing has happened. And so when they wake up in the morning, the one who has the dead baby, who has had her baby stolen, of course, is probably so overwhelmed, but upon her careful observation, she starts going, this isn't the baby I gave birth to. This is not my child. She is the one who is standing before Solomon telling this story. The mother who has lost her child because this woman has stole it is the one that's standing before Solomon giving her case before him. And so now what happens is the minute she said, this woman came and took my baby, this was not my baby, No, she says. And so they start this back and forth. As you can imagine, you imagine two women, one who's trying to have a live child, she's stolen the other, and it's back this back and forth. You've got my baby. I don't have your baby. You did. Yours must have died. You brought it. I didn't do that. So Solomon then takes over. So I want to just make some observation as you're kind of, and when I do this and I'm kind of relating the story, look down and kind of be scanning, because you can probably be reading the account while I'm kind of giving you the story. But I want to just highlight some things. Solomon states the problem. So, and that's good, because if you don't understand exactly what the problem is, there's wisdom here. You kind of say it back in a sense to make sure, do you have it right? In fact, I had that situation. I was asked to speak in the summer on a Wednesday night, and I was told, here's your topic. And I got it, and I was like, whew. So I said, is this what you're looking for? And I got a back exactly. So, you know, you can't. So Solomon was able to state, so this is what's going on. That's good. So now you understand what the problem is. You understand the case before you. So here's what he decided. He says, okay, all right, let's divide the living child in half. Get me a sword. We'll solve this problem. And what did that do? It quickly revealed the real mother, because the real mother did not want her baby cut in half. And then to our sickening stomach, the other one who had done all this says, cut it in half, because if I can't have the baby, neither of us should have it. Immediately Solomon says, all right, there is the mother. And so the baby that is living is given to the right mother. Now, his wisdom in this case begins with his understanding of the case. And his understanding, think about this too, he had to understand the emotions of the situation. Would this not be a very emotional situation? I can't imagine that it wouldn't be very emotional. You've got a woman who's trying to steal another mother's baby. The baby's only 3 days old. And she's already so familiar, you ladies that have carried a baby, and how special that baby is, and how much that baby is a part of you, and you know your baby. And so this, he understands the emotions, and he understands the natural affection of a mother for her child. And so Solomon was able to take that knowledge. He was able to formulate a way to separate the two women in the matter, and his wisdom and the ability or his skill to draw out the proper verdict, and that was whose baby is whose. And so the problem was solved. And so that case is what's put before you to say God gave him a wise and discerning heart. And so there you have it, wisdom, and you have discernment. And that's exactly what was needed. So that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want us to get a good handle on those two things working together. In James chapter 5 and verse 1, we want to start off by understanding something about wisdom. So we'll kind of talk about some things. We'll look at wisdom, we'll look at discernment, and as I said, we'll put them together. So in James chapter 1 and verse 5, something that God wants to do and does it abundantly is in verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So God wants you to have wisdom. It is available, and that's what the Proverbs are talking about. The Proverbs are talking about, she's out here crying in the streets. You just got to listen. You just got to. And so we're going to, of course, understand that that wisdom comes from God. And discernment is the ability, and we'll talk about this more, but discernment is the ability to separate one thing from another. Specifically, Solomon said, I want to be able to understand evil, I want to be able to understand good, and I want to be able to make a discernment between the two. And so they're both important, and I want you to understand a couple of other instances of this. And so what I did is I started looking at, okay, where do you see this also? Well, you see it in the example of Joseph, when Joseph is down in Egypt. Go to Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41. And sometimes when I'm putting a lesson together, the way that you do this is you find the word that is used. In this case, it'd be the Hebrew word. And you take that word, and I can search, where is this word found? Where is what God was happy about? Where's that word found? And when I do that, I can then go and I can look at those verses, and so you'll find out that, hey, this word describes someone like Joseph. So in Genesis chapter 41 and in verse 33, it says, "And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice, because the king is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass." In verse 33, "Now therefore let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt." So kind of in the middle of the story, but he's had the dream. Joseph has interpreted the dream. There's going to be 7 years of plenty. There's going to be followed by 7 years of famine. Look at verse 39. So the suggestion is, we got to find somebody that's got to set over all this, that is a discerning and a wise man. There's your two words. Verse 39, "Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you." So if you want to understand wisdom and discernment, you think about Solomon. Here we would say Joseph, because the scripture says he's somebody that's wise, and he is somebody that's able to take that wisdom and he's able to discern. And so he was, before that reason, he was the one that was put in charge of all of this, which is through his wisdom. He said, okay, we got 7 years, we're going to, and they have found what they think is some of this over there, where they found these underground storage bins, where, you know, they stored up a lot of food when they had plenty. Think about your crop just busting over. And so you were not only eating off of that crop the 7 years, but you were putting it away and putting it away and it's like some of you. I don't know if you keep likening the Patriots food supplies or what, but I keep getting these things, and it seems like she's the one that's like, so you got to store up and be ready. That's what they did, because when it goes away, you want that. And so he was the one put in charge of how to do that. So think about what happens. If you came to Egypt like his family did, and this is part of the story there that Stephen was telling. When they went to Egypt, who were they sent to? You go see Joseph. You go see Joseph. He's going to tell you what you need to do. So he is selected because he is discerning and wise. Another is David. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 18. And I don't think that either of these is a surprise that this would be the case. This is early on in David. In verse 16, Saul is the king, but David has been anointed the king. And Saul had these distressing, troubled times. And so it says, "One of the servants," in verse 18, "answered and said, look, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who's a skillful in playing." He was a talented harp player, "a mighty man of valor, a man of war." But here's our word again. Prudent is the way it's translated here. "Prudent in speech and a handsome person, and the Lord is with him." Prudent in matters, the King James says. And that's the same word. As you could translate that, he is discerning in speech. That's what I wanted to point. He's discerning in speech. When David speaks, he can discern between this and that. So here's somebody that was good at that, making discernment. And so he's said to be this in matters of judgment. In other words, when David spoke, you would want to listen, because David's going to give you some good advice. We would say that way today. So here's a couple of examples of others that had wisdom and they had discernment. Now, it's important for us to understand why this is important. Because in Isaiah chapter 7, when you look at, and no surprise here either, that this is how the Savior is described in prophecy. So we're looking at Isaiah chapter 7. We're looking at verse 14 to 16. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son." We're talking about Jesus now. "Shall call his name Emmanuel. Curds and honey he shall eat, that he may know to refuse the good and choose, or refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that you dread will be forsaken by both her kings." So basically, we've got this prophecy that there is, again, wisdom and discernment are going to be necessary by Jesus the Messiah to be able to refuse evil and choose the good. So he's going to need wisdom. He's going to need the ability to make that distinction between good and evil. So if you don't know what is evil and good, would you say you have wisdom? I would say, I don't have any wisdom. Well, how can you possibly discern between the two of what is good and what is evil if you don't even have the wisdom? You see, there's a problem there. So as Christians, we should learn and know, first and foremost, what did Jesus say? What did he teach? But look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 9, the other passage that is there. Romans chapter 12 and in verse 9. And we'll pick up the other passage in just a second. So in Romans chapter 12 and verse 9, actually we'll just cite it. We won't have the time to turn over there. So we're looking at Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. Let me get there. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. So here's an apostle of Jesus Christ, and Paul says, listen, you have to abhor what is evil. You have to cling to what is good. How important is wisdom and discernment? Well, you have to know what is good and you have to know what is evil before you can possibly resist it and abhor it, and before you can possibly do what is good. You have to have an understanding of what that is. And so the John chapter 5, verse 29 is, this is so important to us, what we're talking about. What I'm talking about is very important. And the reason it's important, because in John chapter 5 and verse 9, it says, where are the good going to spend eternity? In heaven. Where are the evil going to spend eternity? In eternal damnation. That's how important something like this is. This isn't just like, oh, well, that's just a good thought. This is saying to me and to you, we need to learn how to have wisdom, and we need to learn how to discern, put the two together, because our eternal destination is contingent upon whether or not we can abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be able to resist what's evil, do what is good. We have to be able to make that judgment. So when you start looking at the wisdom part, let's talk about wisdom. And just think with me. Here's what wisdom is. Wisdom is the use of accumulated knowledge, accumulated experience, and we're going to throw in some good old common sense. Because I've got relatives that are smarter than smart that have absolutely zero common sense. So when we think about wisdom, let's think about it from this type of vantage point. Now, we're going to start off by saying, I'm not talking about how much you know about silent science. I'm not talking about how much you know about health. I'm not talking about how much you know about engineering or how much you know about business or whatever you may know. Now, you can use those skills, but that's not the kind of knowledge we're talking about. That's not the kind of wisdom that we're talking about accumulating. That's not the experience that we're talking about. Now, you can learn in your field. No doubt you see in your field, Craig, you know, you're out here, you're dealing with people, you're going to learn a lot. But that's not based on maybe what you know about networks and computers and things of that nature. But you're going to cause interaction with people. So you're going to get experience there. But we're not talking about, well, how much do you know about this? Everybody understands. So that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about knowledge that begins like Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We're going to put God into this picture of what does it mean to have wisdom. We're going to approach this from our respect and reverence for God. And when I put God into the picture, that says I'm going to be held accountable unto my Creator, who's going to determine and does determine what is right and what is wrong, and He will be the one that actually determines heaven or hell. So wisdom begins with understanding you're going to be held accountable. So what we're talking about, it's very important, and we need the kind of wisdom that we're going to be talking about. Look at Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 2. Proverbs 2 and verse 2. So that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Did you catch two words? You have to incline your ear. You have to be willing to do that. And you have to apply your heart. What is it that, Sammy, you have to talk about this, don't you, as a counselor? Listen, you need to apply yourself in this class or you're not going to graduate. That's the word you would use. You have to apply yourself, meaning I can't do it for you. You're going to have to apply yourself. So there's two words that says it's on me. I have to incline my ear unto wisdom. I have to be willing to listen to instruction. I have to be willing to listen to advice. I have to be willing to listen to correction. Even rebuke. I have to be willing for those things. And so where is wisdom found? Well, that's why we turn to 2 Peter chapter 2 and we look at chapter 2 and verse 15. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Give diligence or study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be shamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's an action on your part. That's the same thing of applying yourself. You have to give attention. So what I'm saying is, so I need wisdom to be able to now discern and do the right thing. So I have to get it from the right source. That's going to be from God. And I'm going to have to put an effort in, that's my diligence or study, so I can get the needed knowledge. And that's going to be on me. Because wisdom is from God. And I don't know how these aren't up there, but James chapter 3, well, they're not up there because I guess I didn't put them up there. It's like, well, they're there somewhere, but apparently I didn't get the various verses. I keep looking over there. James chapter 3, I wanted to point out, look at verse 13 to verse 18. Who is wise and understanding among you, James asked, let him show by good conduct. That his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy, self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. So that's the wrong kind of wisdom. That's not what you want to get smart in. That doesn't come from God. That comes from down here. And he says, where envy and self-seeking exist, selfishness, and number one, what do you have? Confusion and every evil thing are there. Why do we have all the problems we have right there? People use the wisdom from down here. But here's what we're looking for, verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. Nobody better tell me what to do. My way or the highway. Think about how important something like that is in a congregation. Willing to yield. He says, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Now that wisdom, that's the kind of wisdom that's from above. So the more we know about the Word of God, the better equipped we are to now be able to discern good and evil. So let's talk about discernment. Now, the discernment is the ability to differentiate between what is good and what is evil. And another way to define discernment, as it's used in the Greek, is you're making a separation. You're taking this and you're putting it over there, and you're taking that and you're putting it over there. And think about, that's what we're talking about. Light, darkness, good, evil. To the right, to the left. We do this all the time. We separate things. That's discernment. So with wisdom, I'm going to make a distinction. And the Bible uses that now in the passage that is up there. Just back up to Hebrews chapter 5. And look with me at verse 12 through 14. He says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again. What? The first principles of the utterances or oracles of God, the things that God has spoken. And you have come to need milk and not solid meat." So there's a time that you got to move on or you can't go backwards. You're sick when you don't move forward. Or if you're moving forward and you go backward, that's not good. "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness." And we're not talking about drinking milk. We're not talking about eating meat. We're talking about spiritual things. He says, if you're on milk, you're unskilled in what? The word of righteousness. For he is a babe. Well, how unskilled am I if I'm in the word and I'm studying and I'm getting the wisdom and the knowledge, the accumulated word of God? See, now that's going to make me smart where I need to be smart. He says, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And there's our word. The ability then to discern, that's good, that's evil. We've made a separation, we've made a distinction. And so you train your brain to be able to recognize good and evil. Think about how you use this. It smells like marijuana. Well, you might not want to go into that house where that party's at. You're using physical senses to say, wait a minute. This is not a good place for me to be. Smells like a lot of alcohol. You might want to turn around. You should turn around. Now, there they are. Showed up on the wrong screen. You use your senses. What is that, an apple? What's that, an orange? How do you do that? Well, it looks like an apple. That one looks like an orange. If I had them and I passed them around, you say, well, that feels like an apple. That feels like an orange. You know what? It smells like an apple. It smells like an orange. You taste it. It tastes like an apple. That one tastes like an orange. And then I was thinking, well, do you use your fifth senses in hearing? I thought, well, maybe so. If you peel it, you know, you're using other senses, but, you know, you'd hear a pretty soft tearing away of an orange peel. An apple, well, you'd probably have to get a knife to peel that thing, right? So you would hear differences there. But anyway, you're using your senses to discern. In fact, if I said, all right, we're going to put a blindfold on everybody, and I handed them out, I'm pretty sure every one of you could have told me what both of those are, and you would have done it by using your senses. Caroline would have gone, smells like an orange. All I would smell is apples. I can't get it out of my head. So I probably wouldn't be any good at this little experiment. Now, let's put them together, and the lesson is yours. Wisdom and discernment. If I want to be wise, the first thing we learned is you need to ask God. Because He loves to give it, and He'll give it a lot to you. He wants you to do right. He wants you to do what is right. And the wisdom comes from above. It's found in the Scriptures. And it's found when we study the Bible, and it manifests itself in our life. We accumulate biblical knowledge. We're armed with the Word of God. And I use it throughout my life. Guess what? I'm gaining experience. I see it here. I saw it there. That didn't work. I goofed. You mentioned in your prayer, we sin. I sinned. That didn't work. I gain experience. And now I've got accumulated knowledge. I've got accumulated experience. And then sometimes it takes good old common sense. Parent says, why did you go into that party where you smelt marijuana and the police showed up? Didn't God give you something to set upon the top of your body? You didn't use your smarts. Common sense, little Johnny, would have told you to turn around and get out of there. Common sense would have said, don't do that. You see how important that is? You don't have to be a rocket scientist to use your common sense. So with all of that that you gain, if you treat people ugly, how do you think? It shouldn't be any surprise. Nobody wants to be around you. Use your head. So what does the Bible say? Treat people the way you would want to be treated. Now, all through life, that's the wisdom. Now, here's how discernment works. I'm going to have to make a decision based on something that's in front of me. I'm going to have to make a choice. Will I be able, with my knowledge now, to be able to say, that would be right and that would be wrong? We're going to make a distinction. We're going to separate them. And it's going to be easy pick. I'm going to go that way to right. I'm going to shun that which is evil. I'm going to cleave to that which is good. You note the differences. You note the differences. That's what the distinction is. That's the discerning part. You look at the situation and you look at this. Some people say put the pros, put the cons. Look at it. We're looking at this right and wrong. Make the distinctions. Not going to be good for me. Taking me down the wrong path. This would be healthy for me. This would be a good decision. Will I be able to discern what is right? What is the right thing to do? And discernment is the point where you make that decision. You've got the know-how, and you make the decision between good and evil. You separate them. You make the right choice. And so there's a lot of people, so this is why the conjunction is there. There's a lot of people that have knowledge and experience in the Word, but they're not able to discern the right thing to do. And that's where the word exercise came in. Exercise, back in Hebrews chapter 5, means you have to go through the training. This is work. This is something I have to put in effort into. You learn from your choices, and you use what you've learned the next time to discern good and evil. So now you've put the two together. We're coming back to full circle, and the lesson's yours. What did Solomon ask for? I want to be able to do that. The Lord's reaction was, I'm pleased. I'm pleased. That was excellent, Solomon. That was a good ask for wisdom and discernment. And I'm going to give you that understanding heart. I'm going to give you the ability. And then we saw that first example of where he used what God gave him. So we've got the tools to be able to navigate through life, because life throws all kinds of stuff at us. Choices. Would this be right? Would this be wrong? And it's just a matter of, not, I don't flip a coin. I don't always just like, well, I'll fumble through it. And, if I made a mistake, that's what we're trying to avoid. We're trying to have the knowledge to be able to do this and to do this well, because life has a lots and lots of decisions to be made, and we want to be right and pleasing unto God. That's primary. That's the first and most important thing. Well, if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, the right thing to do would be to consider the fact that if you die in your sins, that's it. Eternal damnation, that's what confronts you. So if you need to obey the gospel, we want you to do that. We want you to do that with all your heart. And we want you to do that in obedience to the faith that we talked about in our study. Be obedient to the faith. And if we can help you do that, we would encourage you to do that. If you're a child of God and you've got sin, you need encouragement, something needs to be confessed, we stand ready to help you as we stand and sing.